What's up, guys? It's your man, Donovan Sharp, and welcome to this special Sunday edition of One-on-One with Donovan Sharp. Right now, we are live on, we're live everywhere. We're live on YouTube, Facebook. Let's see, where else are we live on? It looks like we're also live on SharpStream, as well as MGTOW.TV, Manosphere.TV, and of course, in crystal clear, high resolution 4K. To SharpStream. So however you're watching, wherever you're watching from, thank you for making TSR Live a part of your daily routine. My guest, Kendall from Temptation Island Season 3, he will be along shortly. I just sent him the link. Shout out to Gigi Anomaly and Dre Raven in the SharpStream chat. If you are in the SharpStream chat, your questions will be prioritized. I have a number of questions that I'm going to be asking Kendall. And I sent him a list of some pretty hard-hitting questions, and he said, "Yeah, you know, look, the questions are perfectly fine." And so I'm looking forward to this interview, man. This is gonna be a lot of fun. While we wait on Kendall, let me read some of the chats here. So King Life says, "This is greatness." The Entrepreneur says, "Oh." Josh May says, "We in here." Fit Fresh says, "This is going to be funny and important." I agree. he also says, "Hey, get your notepads and pens ready." Dre Raven says, "Can't wait." I guess we'll put that in the Bart Scott category, the Bart Scott voice. Shout out to Shane, the newest member of Chat Privileges. Welcome to the TSR family. At Shane N. to welcome him to the TSR family. Also, Shane, if you would, go ahead and put in your age and location in the chat in case one or more of us happens to be in your neck of the woods. Maybe we can get together, crack open a beer, and find like-minded people. It's very, very difficult to find like-minded men, especially in this sector of the web. But I think that this is probably the best thing to do. So I'm going to be asking Kendall all kinds of questions, man. I'm going to ask him about his relationship with Erica before and after the show. I'm going to ask him about Alexis, what transpired after the final bonfire. We're going to ask him about the Alexis Nicole love triangle, or the throuple, I guess, as they called it. I'm also going to ask him what his relationship is like now with, Corey, Tom, and Julian. The four guys seem to be pretty tight on the show. So we're going to ask him. And listen, I'm very excited to have him on the show. He actually reached out to me a while back and said, "Hey, man, I saw your Temptation Island." Breakdowns, and that's some real shit. So I was like, "All right, man." So I asked him to come on the show, and he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Look, man, that'd be great." So here we are. Let's see. While we wait on Kendall to join the podcast, if you guys have any questions for Kendall, go ahead and put them in the chat. And I'll make sure we get him all squared away and taken care of. Oh, I think I see him in there now. All right, Kendall, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, man?
Not too much. This is pretty cool to actually be talking to somebody that was on a dating show that I broke down, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Good, good. Hey, listen, first of all, thanks for making time for us, man. A lot of guys, I don't know if you saw the entire breakdown of the Temptation Island series, but we call you the king of Temptation Island. We call you the emperor. I think we've also called you the number one draft pick because you had the most success on the show. So let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this first question. How did you find out about my breakdowns on Temptation Island?
So how did I find out about it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I was on this website called LA Casting. So I seen it come up and I read the description. I was like, "Man, this seems kind of crazy, but it seems like a good idea." At the time, I was with Erica, okay. And I mentioned the idea to her, but I kind of just applied just to see, you know, what would happen, sent them our pictures and different things. And then we started getting some interviews, and then that's when the whole process started, and then it started becoming real.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. How did Erica feel about it? Was she all for it or was she hesitant?
No, in the beginning, Erica was not for it. She was at a place to where she felt like it would threaten our relationship and it was completely out of her comfort zone. To me, I was like, you know, we're already having these issues. I think any relationship should be tested to a certain extent. Like, okay, people say they're loyal. People say that they can do certain things, but you don't really know until you're put to the test, until you're really in the midst of that temptation, and it's a lot different.
Right, right. Now, I'll actually tell you this, even though, and we'll get to the whole Alexis and Nicole thing, but it appeared to me that at the final bonfire, you wanted to get back with Erica. That proved to me that, and you probably realize this now, but sex and love are mutually exclusive with men. We can love one woman, we can go smash a bunch of chicks and still love the woman that we came with. That appeared to be what happened in your season. Am I wrong?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's sad because I don't think a lot of women understand that construct.
Right.
Because for a man, you can do something physically with a woman and it's like, okay, that's what it was. But to a woman, it's like, I'm giving myself to this man. I'm giving him emotionally, spiritually, I'm giving him all of me. But to a man, we just perceive things a lot differently. So the world sees it as, oh, you just don't care about her at all, this or that, just based off of the action, but not understanding the other elements that surround that whole thing, you know?
Right. And I'll put it to you like this too. You probably realize this by now, but obviously men and women are different. And I've said this before. Men, we show commitment through provisioning, right? Resources. We take care of them. We give them a good life. Women show commitment through fidelity. This is why men who have wives of 15, 20, 30 years have 18 side chicks. But if anything were to happen to his wife, he loses his mind because those other women, they don't mean anything. It's just a physical thing, but you really love your woman. Women tend to think that we think like they do. If a woman steps out, if a woman cheats on you, that means the relationship is over. And so Erica assumed that when you were messing around with Alexis and then Nicole, that you feel the same way that she would feel if she were messing around with somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That had to be very difficult. Okay, so let's get to the fun stuff. So when they bring out all the contestants, the very first thing that I noticed is when Alexis, when she was, you know, everyone was lining up, she was already eyeballing you, right? Erica said, oh, you know, don't drop a dime for a nickel or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Then Alexis comes up, says, hi, I'm Alexis, I'm blah, 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 blah. She looks directly at Erica. She says, you're going to be seeing me with your man in the bonfire, in bonfire videos. What was going through your mind at that point?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect. I just thought, okay, she's an attractive woman. Like, that was pretty bold. Like, okay, let me see what you're about. Because, like, my personality type, I'm very assertive. I'm very straight to the point. I'm very critical. Like I was actually there to actually meet different people and see if I find somebody who's more compatible with me. So when she did that, it just kind of caught me off guard. I was like, dang, well, we'll see. Like, whoa.
What's Alexis like off the camera? Is she, I mean, they describe her as this temptress. She's sultry. She oozes sexual appeal. Obviously you look at the girl, she's clearly sexually attractive. She always had this, I want to jump Kendall's bones looks on her face all the time. But what is she like outside of the bedroom action?
She's actually very soft-spoken, like extremely soft-spoken. Like there would be times even the cameras are not on. Where I would literally have to, you know, just because she'd get nervous sometimes. So she looks very, you know, like unapproachable from the outside. She's this beautiful girl and all these certain things. Like you would think she has this boisterous personality and everything, but you'd really have to dig. So like she was kind of more introverted than I thought in the beginning, but then she started opening up a lot more. So she's really fun. She's down for whatever. Like even on a lot of the dates, you know, you guys didn't get to see a lot of the dates. When we went snorkeling the first time, like she literally treated me like an infant because I couldn't swim at the time. So she literally carried me through this 40-foot water. Like she was doing all the little things. So I felt comfortable with her early on. So she was just easy to talk to and she's really cool. Like just chill.
Right. I think it was clear to me and my audience that Alexis really, really liked you. Like you guys were... I remember the conversation when you guys were in the truck and of course it was tongue in cheek. She's like, listen, I wouldn't mind having 10 kids with you. And you sort of kind of reciprocated. What was the actual relationship like? Did you like her as much as she liked you or was it pretty even at that point?
I mean, at that point, I feel like See, me, I like to not jump all the way in, but I like to vet people early on. So good. It's like, okay, you look good. Like, let me see what's in your head. Let me see if we have the same values. Let me see how you see your life in the next 5 to 10 years. Like, so I feel like at that time, I was developing feelings for her for sure. She was a great person. She was cool to get along with, but I also didn't want to just be head over heels and be like, okay, because, you know, we had sex and this or that, we're getting along. This is my wife now. Like, I wanted to still take things slow, but I also want to see, is this person actually someone I can see myself with in the future?
It sounds to me like you have had experience with good looking girls. You jump in, you're head over heels, and she turns out to be like a fucking, she turns out to be crazy. Man. Not that Alexis had crazy tendencies, but my guess is that your experiences before you came to the island, yeah, that's why you sort of pumped the brakes with Alexis a little bit.
Yeah. So for sure. I've dealt with a lot of situations where, you know, you're dating somebody and you get their representative for the first 5 to 6 months. And then you start seeing the real them when adversity comes out. You know who somebody really is once they get upset with you, or once they feel like they don't need you. If they start treating you different, or you watch how they treat other people, that's how you see how they really are. So they might like you, they might like the idea of you, but they might not understand what it takes to be with you. Like, a lot of people like the idea of me, but being with me is a lot different. Like, yeah, because I take things serious. Like, I want to take a relationship serious.
This is interesting. I think you're 28, 29 now, right now?
Yeah, so I'm 28 now. I just turned 28 in September.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You seem to know a lot more about sexual dynamics between men and women than the typical 28-year-old. What you know now, see, and what you know, when I was your age, I was completely, I didn't know shit. Like, I didn't know anything about women. I'd been married already. But you really seem to have a good grip on the way shit really goes down between men and women. What do you attribute that to? Did you have an example, or did you just figure it out?
I think it's been a combination of bad experiences, watching content, reading, really diving into things, because, like, the way that I am is when I'm really serious about something, I put my all into it and I want to learn as much as possible. Like, even after the experience is like, I even wanted to think, why did I do the things that I did? Like, I'm very critical on myself. So when it comes to relationships, people have this idea of what it looks like to be in love. But when you get there, it's a little different than what you expect. And yes, so in life, you have adversity. And I know relationships, for any successful relationship that's longer than 5 to 10 years, you're going to go through some things. So if you don't have a partner who's resilient, who can love you through those hard times, it's like, what are we really going to do? Because, you know, once we hit a rock, you're going to jump off the ship. I'm cool. I don't want a ship jumper. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good.
You and I share, I think you and I share the same mindset in terms of pushing our women to be great. I remember in the opening montage, they showed different videos of you and Erica interacting. Yeah. And she says, listen, man, like, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make you food. You're working out with her. You're like, come on, man. Like, you're already halfway through and you're already quitting on me. Talk to my audience about why it is you push your woman. Why do you, and I agree with you 100%. I do the same thing with my girl. I hired her a personal trainer and everything. Why is it important for men, in your opinion, to push a woman? Why is it not enough for a woman to just look like Alexis or look like Erica to be with a
guy? Man. So first and foremost, I always say, like, beautiful women, it's a dime a dozen. That's low hanging fruit. You want to be a beautiful woman, but you want to bring other things to the table. You want to have substance. So to me, having a woman and being able to help develop her and push her to the next level, that's what a partner's supposed to do. That's what a leader's supposed to do. I'm supposed to push you and make you better. You're supposed to make me better. Like, me personally, like, I've been so transparent. Like, I've been overly critical. Like, sometimes I don't always take heed to people's emotions. So people who are a little more softer, who can feel things out better than I can, they can call me out on my crap. They can let me know, hey, Kendall, that's a little harsh how you did X, Y, and Z. So as a man, I want to be able to lead, and I want to be able to provide, and I want to be able to set the standard for where we can go. Like, if my girl wants to start a business, or she wants to move somewhere or take a trip, it's like, I want to support that. Like, let's do it. Let's make it happen. I don't want to talk about it. It's like, let's really do it. And I feel like a lot of people, they're stuck. Like, I'm downtown right now, and it's like, a lot of people are stuck in the matrix of life. Like, you get caught up in the 9-to-5, and you get caught up in this whole routine of a relationship. And to me, a relationship is like, it's so beneficial, and it's so, it can change your life. Like, the person that you pick to be with is one of the most important decisions of your entire life.
You better believe it, man. What you said there, one thing that you said there really got my attention is leader. Now, listen, man, especially in LA, I don't want to call it cancel culture, but if a man says, hey, I'm a man and I have to lead the relationship, that's not too fashionable. What do you say to people who say, Kendall, oh my God, you're a misogynist. A woman can lead a relationship. What are your thoughts?
I think that's completely upside down. I think society now is being way too hypersensitive. A man is a man for a reason. You want your man to be stronger than you. You want your man. Women, they subconsciously don't want to say it, but they want to have a man that they are somewhat intimidated of, that they want to look to for protection, that they want to look to for financial security, that they want to look to in every aspect. Like, you want to be able to cover your woman. And being a man, you should be able to cover your woman in all facets. Right. So a woman who doesn't want to do that, if she's overly independent and she's trying to do everything on her own and she's always had to fight, that's been indoctrinated in her brain from dealing with bad relationships or not being able to depend on bad men. But then she's in those bad situations off her own bad decision making and not doing the work that she needed to be able to make the right decision. So it's a long cyclical cycle. But as a man, I think it's a great thing to be able to lead your woman. That doesn't mean that she's beneath you. That means that you guys are equal, but you just provide direction and she can provide direction too in different ways.
Let me ask you this, man. How did you find out about my breakdowns of the dating show? Because the way you're talking, it sounds like you've been, because I've been at this for almost 8 years. It sounds to me like you've consumed my content forever. How did you find out about this?
So honestly, a guy sent me your video. I literally only watched your breakdowns of the show. But I looked at, you know, your page, a lot of things that you've been doing, the dating stuff. It's like, that's why I wanted to reach out to you, because I was like, you're the only pragmatic, critical thinking person that understands the different depths of different things. Like, even when you're breaking down the reunion, how they're coming at me and different things, people just see like, oh, they told him off, or oh, this, or oh, he's a jerk, or oh, this. They're not looking at every single aspect of it. So I think personally, like, I've been called to speak about this stuff, and I think the whole situation, like, it's happened for a reason, and I think it's a part of my purpose, because I've always poured into people and I've always provided advice, and I help a lot of people in my life. Like, a lot of people that are in my close circle, like, I do a lot of things for them and they do a lot of things for me. Like, I'm solid, like, and it's hard to find solid people. Yes. So, but that's how I found out about you. And I love the way that your mind works and how you've seen it. Like, even to the facial expressions, to what people will see the facial expression, but there's something behind the facial expression. Like, what does that really mean? Like, you're not meaning what you're saying. Like, you might say, well, he shouldn't have been doing that. But in reality, you're really thinking like, man, I just want to go home with you right now. Like people don't see those things. You know what I'm saying?
I give men permission to be men, right?
Yeah.
Because clearly I have a male audience, and men have been, like, masculine behavior has been legislated out of our behavior. So when guys like you and me are in front of the camera doing what they wish they could do, a lot of times you can get some pushback. This to me is why male brotherhood is very important. And I guess, speaking of which, what's your relationship like with Corey, Tom, and Julian? Are you still tight with those guys? You guys hang out? Oh, I don't think you can hear me. Can you hear me? Oh, I think he muted me. Hang on a second. Hang on. I've got a technical issue going on. You might have muted yourself. Can you hear me? Yeah, I don't think you can hear me. Hang on a second. Camera and mic. Let's see here. Oh, there he goes. Okay, cool. All right, so I think he dropped out. I think he'll probably jump back in. Because he had a bad connection. Holy smokes, man. It sounds to me, it really does sound to me like he could be RP Allaire, like, for sure. that's insanity, man. Let me reach out to him. Use the same link to jump back in. All right, good. Good stuff, man. All right, let's see. Oh, by the way, dude, shout out to Black Lemur 2009 with a $500 super chat. Holy smokes, man. Says, good to have you back. Couldn't super chat the day you got back, so here you go. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate that very, very much. Let's see. Yeah, his phone froze. It's all good. All right. Here we go. Let's see here. Hang on. There were a couple more questions on the Sharp Streams. I thought I had it on the Sharp Stream side. Where the hell did it go? Oh, there it is. There we go. TJ 80s on the Sharp Stream side says, Don, good to see you're doing well. Yeah. I feel great today. I feel probably the best today. I feel better today than I have in quite a while. Slapduck says, this guy is a natural. God bless this kid. Real talk, man. Cover your woman, protect and lead. Big facts, dude. That's the first thing I picked up about him when he was talking about his relationship with Erica. That's kind of how guys like us move, man. Let's see here. Yes. Woohoo. Black Gleamer says Damian Hanma, who is in the house. Let's see. Let me make sure that we have everybody in here. Larry Signal 94 says, welcome, Kendall. Appreciate that. Javier Montez. I love the get your popcorn ready. Kendall knows the game, man. And it's interesting that he is like as young as he is, man, as young as this kid is, it's amazing for him to have this perspective. And when he comes back on, I'm going to ask him, hey, like, were you raised in a two-parent home? Like, how did that happen? Because he really seems wise beyond his years. Street Fighter 88 picked up on it. I said, red pill, blue pill equals Matrix. Yeah. He said a lot of people are kind of stuck in the Matrix, the 9-to-5. That's exactly what we talk about. Let's see. Isaac Landis is in the house. Says, yeah, this is great. Appreciate that. Shane N says, yeah, I needed this. You better believe it. Street Fighter 88 says, great collaboration. Let's see. No, that's okay. That's okay. His phone froze. So he's looks like he's restarting his phone. And he'll jump back in. Yeah, Malik says the chicks fight over him in the reunion. Yes, they do. And the funny thing is, man, it's good that he saw the reunion breakdown because everybody, and dude, I'm gonna tell you what, the chick that looked the most upset and wanted to know the most answers was Erica. I need answers. You have to tell me this and that. And Kendall was, I mean, dude, like he was just straight up ice, man. We're actually talking about the reunion show, about how they were all coming after you and trying to get cracker or show some sort of emotion. I remember even Jesse, I think that the guy that Erica hooked up with, I think even Jesse was like, come on, bro. Like it had to hurt a little bit. You're like, nope, I felt nothing. Regardless of whether you did or didn't, that to me, that takes rock solid mind frame game, man. What's going through your mind when you're sitting there getting attacked by Erica and Nicole and everybody's like, ha 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 ha. And I'm like, dude, like this kind of proves that he wins the game.
All right. So I'm going to give you guys some more behind the scenes stuff. So,
okay.
So before we even get to the reunion, you know, they show us parts of the show that we did not see that haven't been aired.
Oh,
so remember the, yeah, so remember the we shot the whole show, then the reunion is like 3-4 months later. So this is already life already happened, different things like that. So they show Alexis a bunch of clips with like me saying, oh, I want to be with Erica and things like that. So she comes into the reunion hot, mad at me. And they show Erica clips with, oh, I want to be with Alexis, da, 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 da. So she comes in hot. And then so everybody's coming in a certain way, but it's all to, you know, it's agenda driven, but it's okay.
Right. Sure.
Yep. So what was going through my mind was I just had to literally accept what it is. Like I already came to terms with the whole Jesse situation. There's no need for me to emotionally still be sad about something or be hurt about it. It's like, it is what it is. Like you said, it was physical. It's not like, honestly, an emotional attachment is worse. If she would have been like, oh my gosh, I just fell in love with Jesse and I'm emotionally so stuck. It's like, if you do something physical with him, like guys don't like to say that, but it's like, realistically, it's like, you can do something to do too and it not be like, oh, I'm in love with him now. But there's sometimes you can fall in love just off of a guy's personality. So to me, I was just looking at it to a point to where, you know, there's no need for me to give this any of my attention or emotions. Right. It's not worth it.
And they, dude, and then I'll tell you this too. I don't know if you want. Seasons one or two, but in season two, Mark Wahlberg made it very clear that he did not like the fact that David had smashed Samantha.
Yeah.
That ended up, see, David came to Temptation Island with the hottest girl, fucked Samantha, and then ended up with the hottest girl, and then still ended up back with Kate. As far as I'm concerned, Mark Wahlberg appears to be a player hater. Did he give you that same player hater vibe during the show, or was he a little easier?
Oh my gosh. I would argue him for hours, me and Rob, that conversation you seen on the couch, legit was like probably 3.5 hours, 3 hours.
God.
So y'all see 30, 40 minutes. I'm sitting there for 3 hours getting drilled. So y'all think like literally, like it's crazy. But no, we just see things differently. But sure. Like me and Mark are cool. Like we even hooped outside of that, like even after that. It's like we just see things different. Like he's more like empathetic and Philly and this and that. And he's like, yeah, you could just be in love and then be with a woman. I'm like, nah, we need to have things situated to make sure that, you know, like we just think differently about a lot of different things. And we've had these conversations. So like he for sure tried to grill me. We for sure went back and forth all the time, but great person. We just have different points of views on certain things.
Right. Right. And you could tell just, I guess in the 35-minute clip, they kept on coming at you. And finally, I remember, and I think that this is what happened. You put an end to it by saying, listen, and it's almost like you kind of made this up. Sometimes, you know, you count on people and they don't uphold their end of the bargain. And that's why I'm the way I am. And then finally, was that just to say, hey guys, just get off my back. It is what it is. Or was that real?
I mean, it's a combination of both. Cause it's real because there's been times where I've invested in people and I felt like it was a waste of time. It was a waste of an investment. So I even seen in your breakdown to earn a man's attention like mine's, you have to be consistent. Consistency is hard to find. Finding someone who's resilient is very hard to find. So people just give the keys their heart away all the time. That's why 80% of the women are running around broken and hurt. Like women are still messaging me every single day. Like, oh, you're a scumbag. You're this, you're that. It's like, you will never get a man because you can't even articulate and understand how you feel to a point that's actually healthy. So it's like, come on now. So yeah, obviously I really felt that, but it's also to a point to where I have to just be real and do me. Like, I don't just give out my heart like that. Like you have to earn it.
How has your life changed since the show? Like, is it better? Is it worse? I mean, clearly you probably have more opportunities with women. How is your life different?
Man, I mean, the recognition's been cool. Definitely a lot more messages, a lot more attention from women. But I already got a lot of attention from women, honestly, before. It's just been, you know, a lot more. Business-wise, a lot more opportunities have came about. It's definitely gave me a platform. It's helped everything, really. So I think it was a great push. There's also been negativity, too. But it's really from women. Men, there's really no man that comes to me and says no crazy stuff. It's really literally just women. So I even want to do something to just consistently talk to them because I don't disrespect women intentionally, or it's not about disrespect. I think perspective and being able to articulate one's emotions and look at a situation neutrally without emotionally jumping to something is something that a lot of women need to learn. So I think overall life has been great after the show. I have no complaints. I'm still pushing, doing a lot more different things coming up. So it's like life has been great. For sure.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. What's your relationship like? What was your relationship like with the guys, Corey, Tom, and Julian during the show? Because you guys seem to be pretty tight knit.
We was cool. Like all of our personalities are so different. So we would all like bounce back and forth. Like Corey's like so smooth and like all of them are so different. Then Tom's more analytical than Julian. Like he brings bravado that's like it's crazy. Like me and him talk, like I have different conversations with everybody, so I would have different mornings and bond with everybody in different ways. Like sometimes me and Julian just wanted to go play games with some of the girls, do different things and throw people in the pool, and then you know I'll wake up in the morning with Corey. Corey would be up early sometimes. We'll literally sit and just watch the sunrise, like just little things, and have conversations. So I had an individual relationship with all of them during the show because we was all going through it together. It's like you're almost bonded, you know.
Yeah. Julian looks like he's a lot of fun, man. He looks like a hang out with, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he was dope. He was dope.
So as far as the like the bonfires, it appeared that the only Corey had a couple, I guess, disturbing-ish bonfires, but Tom, he's the one who had the bad bonfires. How did you help him through that other than pushing him towards Sophia?
Yeah, for me, this is literally black and white. This is really simple. It's like you can't control what's going on over there. All you can do is still feel for your woman, but understand you have your own experience up here too. Don't let it pull and suck you dry to a point to where you feel like you didn't get what you needed to while you were here. Because she's fully diving in, you should fully dive in too. That doesn't mean have sex with Sophia. That just means dive into the experience and get what you need out of it and understand that you're here for a reason too. So because you know how it was. I seen even what you were saying. It's like they're there because he was flirty, but she did things way faster than he did. And he was when I tell you he was so good, like the whole time, like flawless, like literally flawless.
I was like, you need to fuck, like Sophia was throwing the pussy at him. I'm like, Tom, fuck this, bro. Do you know what your girl is doing over there with? Oh my God, unbelievable, man.
He was on point though. Like, respect. Like, he was really on point, and he really wanted to fight for Chelsea. Like, everybody was there for different reasons, so I get it. You know.
Yeah, my audience, we don't really think too much of Chelsea. Listen, shout out to Tom. Yeah. I'm not trying to disrespect him, but I think Tom nailed it when he said that her concerns were literally just a projection. That's really all it was. Chelsea seemed very flirty. And in the end, the reason why she ended up not hooking up with Blake is because Blake didn't have any game. Blake played that. Blake is a good-looking guy, tall, dentist, square jaw, beard. Yeah. He just didn't have any game. He was so this and so that. And I'm like, dude, like, you don't know shit about Chelsea. How are you? Why are you talking about introducing her to your mother when you've known her for 15 and a half minutes?
Exactly.
Chelsea picked up on that. And that's the reason why she ended up making him sleep in the other room. The threesome. This is what everybody wants to know about. How did the threesome come about? It seemed to me like it was probably Alexis's idea because her and Nicole were kind of flirty. How did that happen, man?
Man. All right. So that night was like crazy. So that was the Vegas night. So the Vegas night.
Okay.
It was just fun. Like, we had tequila guns. Like, everybody was lit. It was just crazy. Like, fun games. Like, every day was like a party. So it's literally like living in a different world. Like,
wow.
It's so hard to explain. Like, even when I tell people, it's like, oh, well, I wouldn't have did that. You don't know unless you're in the world. Unless you're plugged in, like, you don't know how it is. So, literally, I mean, you guys kind of see it on camera, but they kind of discussed it and talked about it before, because I dared them to, I believe, kiss in the jacuzzi early on. I seemed like they were flirting, but I didn't know if it was really going to go down or if they were serious. So I told them, you know, I mean,
you said meet my ass in bed. Look, they were in bed waiting on you. You come out, you're like, fuck it, dick out. Let's do it.
You know, they're already in my room at the jacuzzi. So at first we were in the jacuzzi just chilling, talking. So we were chilling jacuzzi for like an hour, and then we, you know, try to go in the shower, but it just wasn't working. Then, you know, finally went to the bed, and then that's when you guys see that whole scene transpire. So I didn't, you know, because you know what the whole Me Too thing, you have to make sure. So I was like, you know, I was going to play no games.
Like, hold up. I want to make sure y'all are cool with this. See that on the camera, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, in the beginning of the show, my money was every show we sort of talk about, just based on first impressions, which one of the dudes is going to run through the most bitches. In season one, we knew Evan was going to run through bitches. In season two, well, we knew David was going to run through bitches. In season three, we thought it was going to be Julian. But Julian was clearly going through some real shit with Kristen, what with the death of her brother. So clear that Julian was really there for the right reasons.
No, for sure. And
you came along. We're like, okay, yeah, Kendall is definitely the guy. Did you ever get that vibe from Julian, or was he really there with a purpose?
No, he was there with a purpose. Like, he didn't deviate. Like, he stuck to the script. Like, he talked about it on the show. He's already made those mistakes in the past.
Right.
He's not going to do it on national television. And as much as people, you know, paint this picture of guys who are the certain way, once you're a cheater, always a cheater. Yep. He's a true testament to that's not true, because he made his mistakes. They got through it and they're moving on. They're getting married and I'm happy for them. Good. So he was on point the whole time. No, not even like, oh man, I wish I could. Like, he was good. Like, not even his thoughts weren't there. He was so focused on Kristen. Like, I miss my girl every single day. Like, that's where he was at.
It was very, very clear that Julian loved him some Kristen, because dude, you look at the guy, he could have smashed the dude. Y'all could have run a train on the whole island, but he says, no, man, like, I've been there. I've done that.
Yep.
That's the point, man. Like, the player life is fun. I've lived the player life, a lot of fun, but
yeah, it gets old.
Yeah, it does. It gets old. And just like you said, man, a bunch of bad bitches and they're all kind of the same after a while. You're like, all right, I need something. I need some potatoes with my steak. You know, I need to be able to have a conversation with someone. In the beginning, it seemed that Alexis was cool with the threesome in the beginning, but then Nicole started to sort of, I don't know. I don't want to say she tried to wedge her way into it, but she's a woman and she has feelings.
Yeah.
Did that make things awkward, or was Alexis like, it appeared to me that Alexis was like, look, nah, bitch. No. This was a one or two time thing. Me and Kendall, we're a thing. You're up out of here. What was that like?
It was really complex. Like, it was hard for me to even navigate at first, because I didn't know how to move with what, and I didn't know if Nicole was being serious, but then I seen, like, once tears started flowing and every day and having more conversations, she was real, she was genuine, and she's goal oriented, she's dope, she's smart. And even we always say, like, man, if things would have hit off earlier, sooner, like maybe I would have took her on a few more dates and things would have been a little different. So it's like, it was hard to navigate, but I didn't want to disrespect anybody, you know?
No, yeah, of course. Did you start to develop even a small connection with Nicole? Or is that
purpose? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like one of the last days, one of the issues, even going up to, I think, the date before the last one, like I sat and talked to Nicole probably for like an hour, 2 hours. And we were just talking about life, different things. I was really getting to know her because she was so hyper-focused on Corey in the beginning. Like I almost thought, okay, well, she's off limits. Like, you know, it's like unspoken things. Like, you know, I don't know how you're really moving. So, you know, I didn't want to just, you know, do that.
No, that makes sense. And it's good that even though you did what you did, you're still cognizant of the way people feel. Because, I mean, you girls get emotional. You're not trying to crush anybody's spirit, right?
Yeah. And then it's also with once the physicality gets involved, like we were just saying, it's different for a woman. So it's like, I can't say, well, just look at it like how I do. That's just one time thing. That's it. But it's like, no. I see where you're coming from. I feel for you. You're also a great person, but I'm also having trouble navigating this myself and being, you know, open and honest about that because it was difficult. Like there was a whole throuple joke and this and that, but obviously Alexis was feeling a certain way too, because she was the priority and she's who I was dating while I was on the show and going on dates with. So it's like, I also don't want to disrespect her, but I don't want to disrespect you either. But I also want to give you some time to see what you're about too, because I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket.
There you go. No, dude, I totally agree. That's the logical thing to do.
Yeah. And
I've always said this, Kendall, is that sex is so much more emotional for women than it is for men. So when a woman decides to have sex with you, a lot of times, listen, maybe it's because you do look good or maybe they're horny, but a girl has sex with a man, however small that piece is, it could be big, they give you a piece of their soul. And this is why women who have had sex with a lot of guys, it's very difficult for them to pair bond with one guy because they've given pieces of their soul to so many men. Yeah. This is why girls get attached so much more quickly than men. And I think you alluded to this earlier. Let's say that Alexis was not as aggressive in terms of getting with you. Let's say that you and Nicole hit it off a little bit earlier and then Alexis comes in. Who would have been the choice at that point?
That's a very great question. Ultimately, I think in terms of compatibility and like future wise, it would be Nicole hands down.
Okay. Because
she's just a go-getter. Like she's about it. Like when we would get up and work out some of the days, like all the time, like she'd be out there working out with us, with the guys. Like she'd be up. I tell Alexis, you know, come on. Nah, I'm asleep. I'm gonna do this. I'm like, all right, you cool.
See, but that sounds like Erica, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to be in my Kindle way and be overly critical. Like, oh, you should be doing this. You should be working out. So it's like I'm working on me at the same time, but I also say, okay, you get up working out with the dudes. All right, that's pretty attractive. That's cool. Like, and you know, you're goal oriented. Like, it's the little things. Like, people don't see everything. So it's like the little things I see over a day, it deposits.
You know, I remember at the beginning of the show, Nicole really, really liked Corey, but Corey just wasn't, he was in a crazy headspace
you know,
about Aaron and this and that. Why did Nicole talk to you about why she stopped pursuing Corey, or was that just a natural thing? There was just no interest.
I feel like she probably just gave up because she felt like there was no hope there. And I feel like they didn't see eye to eye on things. And the way that they communicate is totally different. Like she was crying when he asked, I forgot who he asked to go on a second date. Like she took it personal. I was like, no, like he's here to date people. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not committed to you. So I just think they had some disconnect, honestly.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so the final bonfire. So you know that Erica has seen all of this stuff with you and these other girls.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't know what to expect, but did you expect her to leave the island by herself, or were you just like, hey, it is what it is. If she decides to come back with me, cool. If not, I'll leave with Alexis.
Yeah. So I'm deciding if I want to do a politically correct answer, but I'm not. And I never do. I never do.
What do you do here?
So realistically, the way that I know her and I've always known her to be very strong individual, one of the best, but also can be influenced. So remember, there's the voices of producers and they always push certain things too. You're a woman, know your worth.
There. So producers were in her ear about what to do?
Man.
Oh, God, you're kidding me.
in any show environment or anything, there's always people behind the scenes that always have opinions and say it. So, you know, there's this bravado to where you're the strong woman if you leave him, but sometimes you're the strong woman if you stay.
That's
so
right.
I'm saying that you should, but I'm just saying, like, I know how it is every day because, you know, producers tell me, I'll be arguing producers. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff too. Like,
what are you arguing with producers about? Are they, you shouldn't be sleeping with more than you shouldn't be cheating?
No, just they want to pull, like, they challenge you, like, you know, like everything's real and show, they challenge you. So it's like, imagine right after a bonfire, like you have to jump in interviews and you're talking to a producer about everything that happened. So
okay.
you relive the same thing 10 times, like literally 10 times. Jeez. So with her reliving, all right, Kendall having sex with Alexis, and producers, like, you know, prompting, asking questions nonstop. I mean, it's more of a mental challenge than anything. Like, sure. I was the only person not to really break down and cry on the show ever. Like, it's not happening. It's like, that's not happening, though. Like, you're not, no. It's
like, they tried. I was like, yo, Kendall is not coming for nobody. Fuck that.
It's ever. So it's like, walking into that, I was like, okay, it's either she's going to show me that she can make her own decision, or this is the real decision she wants to make, or it was influenced by somebody else. And it's like, I would really never know, because you could think you're making this decision because you are, just like people pick a certain job because they think they want it, but it's no subconsciously been programmed from their parents from an early age. Right. So same thing when it comes to that. So going into that, I thought it could have went either way, you know?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. And I don't need anybody to tell me anything. Erica wanted to leave the island with you.
Yeah.
The reason she didn't is because she didn't want to look bad. She was literally in the exact same position that Kate was in season two with David. Yeah. She sees David fucking, smashing Samantha. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I know my worth and I'm going to leave. Right. Yeah. She's still hung up on him. Right. Yeah. And then she sees him smashing Tanita and they're talking about plants. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Then, of course, at the final bonfire. Well, David, if you can't respect me as a woman, I'm going to leave here by myself. Guess what? Yeah. She came back here to New Jersey, got a boob job, and she got back with David.
Yeah.
The way to win. This is funny. And we figured this out. The way to win Temptation Island as a man. Don't worry about what your woman is doing. You smash as many broads as humanly possible. And your woman is not going to do anything. In the very first season, Evan hooked up with Morgan immediately. Casey could do nothing but cry about him. Didn't even have sex with anybody. In season two, Kate had sex with Dominique because she felt like she had to get back at David. Erica had sex with Jesse for the same reason. And the reason why I know Erica wanted to leave with you is because 3 months later at the reunion, she still seemed genuinely upset and wanted answers. Well, why did you sleep with Alexis? And what happened with Nicole? There's a thin line between love and hate. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Erica clearly was still bothered by what happened, which says to me, she made the decision that she didn't want to make, which was to leave the island alone. So what happened with you and Erica after you guys left the island? Are you guys still on good terms or not?
I mean, after we left the island, it was a rough place, like, because we lived together. So we had to figure things out.
Wow.
And it was cool for a minute, but obviously we ended up not living together and she found somewhere else to live and different things like that. But we definitely still dated for time after that. Like, even at the reunion, like,
we were fine. So you guys were dating at the reunion, of course, right?
Yeah. So we were fine. But remember, I told you going into it, I thought at the reunion, she was going to say, hey, we're working on things or this or that. But once the clips get shown, once those clips get shown before and you're back in that place emotionally, it was a complete switch. So when she was saying all that, I was looking at her like, are you serious? Like, we're going to talk about this tonight. Like, are you serious?
Wow.
Like, so that's the thing that I don't that I don't like, because there's one thing that's perpetuated and that's out and this or that. But it's like, when you want to get real to the nitty gritty, like, that's when the public says certain thing. Oh, you're a dog. You're this. If I'm a dog, after all that, why would somebody still want to deal with me or want to still be in a relationship with me and do that? And it's
I'll
like,
tell you why. You want to know what? I'll tell you why, Kendall, because she knew what she had in you. And regardless of what a woman says on camera, women know that sex for men is purely physical. Dude, I've been caught cheating more times than I can count. And the first question, my girlfriend or whoever I'm fucking at the time, the first question is always, do you love her? Of course, the answer to that is always no. Now, that doesn't make her hurt any less. She still might throw a cell phone at you. I may or may not have experience with that.
Yeah.
But as long as she knows, okay, this hurts, this sucks, he stuck his dick in another chick, but he sleeps with me every night. He does not love her. Erica, every woman inherently knows this, which is why Erica got back with you after the island. But on television, she has to act like, oh, well, you know what? I can't believe you did X, Y, and Z. Why is it, do you think, that women feel like they have to save face when it comes to their real romantic interests, like with you?
Well, so there's two reasons, I think. So one, there's a this public persona.
Right.
Or two, it's you don't want the like the backlash that I receive. So she's gonna get a lot of women that were her supporters, because her followers are, and people her supporters are going the biggest, oh, the strong woman, this or that. But it's like those people are not gonna be with you when you're at your lowest point. So just like you have fans, like I like that I started off in any of this on the bottom with people hating me, because there's still people that supported me even at my worst, and those are the people that I support. Like even with your channel and your ability to look at it from both sides, like to me, that's a good thing. Whether things are right or wrong, looking at things from a neutral standpoint is a win. Like people just say, oh, you're the dog, you're this, you're a narcissist. Like that's everybody's favorite word. You're a narcissist, you're manipulative. Like I don't need to manipulate no women to keep any woman around. Like that is insane. Like if a woman has her own brain and you're easily manipulated, that is not on the man every single time.
You know, bro, how tall are you?
Huh?
How tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
You're 6'3", and you look like you do. It doesn't take manipulation for women to drop their panties. You didn't manipulate Alexis into telling Erica, yeah, you're going to be seeing me and yo nigga at the bonfire. Like, Alexis already knew, and she shot her shot. And I'll also tell you this. This is funny. The way society does this is they always not guys like us, because I'm in a committed relationship now, but with guys like you, oh my God, I can't believe you manipulated and this and that and a third. Guess what, Kendall? Women do literally the same thing every day. You see, when a man dangles the carrot of commitment, smashes abroad, and she finds out wasn't really about commitment, oh my God, you dog, you're a narcissist. Yeah. You manipulated. But when women dangle the carrot of sex for provisioning and trips and all that with guys, that's just good business. Yeah. So wait a minute. So when women dangle the pussy for guys and they fall for it, that's good business. But when men do the same thing, now it's manipulative. It's always looked at differently, even though women do it far more to men than men do it to women. To me, that's ridiculous, man.
Absolutely. And also having the mental fortitude to be able to take that pushback. So, I mean, those are the reasons why I think she wasn't open with it. I think a lot of women aren't open with it, because almost every relationship I know where a woman's got cheated on, like you said, they always go back and they don't want to be so open with it. But in reality, like if a situation is good, people make mistakes.
Yes.
We need to normalize people making mistakes. Not saying you should purposely go out and try to hurt people or do infidelity or be dumb and be stupid and do it the same situation. But people are not perfect at all. So we need to embrace that.
I'll tell you this. Women don't want you to cheat, but they like to know that you can, because it reaffirms to them, okay, my guy is attractive, right? Now, sometimes you get caught cheating, but in a woman's mind, there's an unspoken agreement. Look, I know you can get pussy. If you do, I don't want to see it. I don't want to taste it, smell it. I don't want to hear about it. Don't get anybody pregnant. Don't fuck her in our bed. Don't give me any diseases.
Yeah.
See people, hear no evil. I'm good. What I don't know can't hurt me. Well, Erica's situation and in Kate's situation, it's the fact that it happened on TV that is going to keep her away from you. Yeah. Kendall, I don't know if you realize this, but Erica still loves you, but she can't get back with you because the public is going to look at her as weak. Lizzo has maybe 10 years left on this earth. Lizzo, to me, wants more than anything, than to lose the weight and be healthy. But as soon as she mentions anything about a diet or getting to a healthy body weight, her fan base turns on her. So it's Lizzo's fan base is going to be the one that ends up getting her killed. Erica and Kate's fan base, those are the ones that are going to end up keeping them from happiness. What are your thoughts?
I think you make some very, really good points, and you're a critical thinker, and I love this conversation. So you're exactly right, even with the Lizzo situation, because that is not the ideal body for what health is or what health should be represented by. So that's people basically perpetuating, yeah, girl, I support it, but that's not the right people you need. You need people to correct you in your life. You need people to tell you when you are wrong and tell you, yeah, you need to make a change. So if somebody loves somebody after they've been hurt and did certain things, that takes true faith. That takes forgiveness. That takes empathy. That takes being a great human being. If you act like everybody else, why would somebody want to deal with somebody that's just like everyone else? So if everybody in the world, if once they get cheated on, oh, I'm gone. Is there ever going to be a person that stands up and say, hey, no, my man did this to me. I'm going to support him through this. And we're going to walk through this together. And I'm going to stand by his side. Like there's no huge representation of that because people are afraid of that and what that takes. It's like you're going to get slaughtered through social media. You're going to get slaughtered on Twitter. And like, I've already been slaughtered. So I know how it is. Like I was trending one day from getting slaughtered. Like it was so crazy. I was like,
This is crazy. I was looking at him, I'm like, dang, y'all really hate me. Like, bruh. So, yeah, no, I completely agree, man.
Yeah. It's really a matter. And what you said is 100% true. Female strength is different than male strength.
Yep.
For when a woman cheats on a man, that's it. That's the deal breaker. It takes a lot of strength for a man to walk away from that situation. Oh. Because I've been cheated on by girls I loved, and I didn't always walk away. And it oh my God. And dude, you can't eat. You can't. It sucks. Uh-huh. But when a woman decides to stay with her guy after he steps out on her, that takes even more strength, because again, they're facing the ridicule. This is why women, with this unwritten contract in their mind, look, if you're going to do it, don't get caught. I don't want to see, because when your woman catches you cheating and other people know about it, she's like, fuck, now I have to do something about it. Now yeah. I have to act like I'm pissed. Now I have to punish him. Now I have to act like I'm the strong and independent woman. Well, Kate did the same thing with David. And as soon as she touched down in New Jersey, they were probably fucking a week later. Yeah. And even at the reunion, Kate was still looking, okay, sweetheart, you went back and got a boob job and you're still fucking David, right? So let's not try and act like, to me, it's all about saving face for women. And if women would, and we can't expect them to do this. And this is not an indictment on the female species. This is just how women are. They're very emotional creatures. They don't think about things logically. Yeah. And so it is up to us as men. And I always say this too, women need men. And the reason why women need men is because women, when left to their own devices, are self-destructive. Their default mechanism is self-destruction. That does not make them bad people, Kendall. I'm not trying to bash women here, but
you're speaking facts.
You know what I mean? Like, see, you think about this. Women, when they're 14, 15 years old, they figure out, holy shit, men want to fuck me. And in their mind, all of a sudden, the maturity stops, because an actuality of a female's life is getting men to like them, because it opens up all doors. Yeah. Marriage, relationships, provisioning, all that stuff. And so this is why 30 and 35 year old women still act like 15 year olds, because they stop maturing at 15. Well, when you give women complete control of anything, they destroy it. Single mothers, they destroy their children. Their daughters end up either on the pills or the pole. Their sons end up running afoul of the law, or they become switch hitters, or sometimes both. Women control themselves. They got body counts into the triple and sometimes even quadruple digits by the time they're 30. This is why women need men to guide them. This doesn't mean women are stupid. This doesn't mean women are inferior. It's just that the power of real femininity, the power of a woman's allure, that comes at a price. Whoever the lord is couldn't say, okay, I'm going to give this female absolute power over men for 10 years. For 10 years, no man will say no to her. But wait a minute. You know, like when you're creating your NBA 2K character and you have a certain amount of points, okay, ball handling and okay, well, he's got all ball handling and shooting, so he's not going to have very much stamina. Okay, all of the sexual allure. Ooh, wait a minute. There's not enough for logic. Ah, that's all right. I'll create men to protect the women from themselves. Well, guess what? We got all these women running around here, basically children with dynamite, and they destroy themselves and everyone around them, and they don't know why they do what they do. It's insane, man.
Yeah, man, you're literally speaking my language, because I get ridiculed about it, because I've dealt with situations even with just dating where women, their emotions will be in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Like, when you're feeling something, I feel, therefore it is. That is not true. You can feel a certain thing. Okay, I cannot text you back in 10 minutes. So you could think, oh, he's ignoring me. Or you could think, hey, he might be taking a nap. So I've gotten so many arguments off of people feeling certain things based off of an action that I did that was not to make you feel a certain way, but another person in the same situation could have felt a different way. So you have to look at the intent and what the actual action is, instead of just feeling a certain thing and running with it. I feel hurt, or I feel like you're playing me. How do you feel like I'm playing you if I'm not playing you? Like, what are you talking about? You're just feeling certain things. But like you said, if you're coming from this construct and you've consistently created this self-destruction mode in your emotions and everything, you're going to continually, perpetually feel certain things that you shouldn't be feeling sometimes. And I've gotten these arguments with people and they think I'm a bad person by saying this.
Right. Oh, dude, listen, you talk about, listen, I mean, I don't know how long you followed me, but trust and believe, I get attacked on a daily basis. Yeah. Were you raised by your father? Were you raised in a two-parent home?
Yeah, both of my parents are still together, married, and yeah. Still.
There you go. This explains why you're at this point at 28, but I was a dumpster fire when I was 28. You see, I was raised in a quote-unquote two-parent home, but my mother cheated on my father all the time. They were separated twice, finally got divorced when I was when I was 13, man. And our mother essentially raised us. So I was very quick to emotion. I've run afoul of the law plenty of times, but, but the fact that you were raised in a two-parent home, that right there explains the reason why you are miles ahead of the average man in this day and age.
Absolutely. I definitely think it makes a big difference. And my parents are both polar opposites too. It's so funny. My mom's like the go-getter, talkative, boom, boom. My dad's like more of the poise. Let's think about this. Let's analyze this. Let's, you know. So right. It's still different because I see both of their point of views. And I feel like I always tell them I'm a hybrid of both of them because I'm not afraid to take risks, but I'll take calculated risk. And I feel like even when I make mistakes, I don't let it deter me from trying still.
Relationships need polarity. Like I'm a very outgoing, dynamic, extroverted, dominant, you know, domineering personality. Yeah. My girl is literally the opposite. She's demure, she's soft-spoken, she's shy.
Yeah.
It works just fine. You can't have two Donovans or two Devons in a relationship. Man. Otherwise, shit's going to happen.
Y'all going to blow something up.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I said, y'all going to blow something up. Y'all both firecrackers.
We're trying to, man. How did Alexis take it when she saw the final bonfire? Because, again, she was not aware of what had happened. Or why did you guys break up? I guess because you guys left the island together. What happened with you and Alexis after you guys left the island?
Realistically, she was not who she was on the island, outside of the island. Like, there were just certain things that I peeped. I was like, I can't do it. You know me, I'll cut things off quick, early. So she said, oh, she ghosted me and all that. No one ghosted nobody. Like, our communication was off. Like, she wakes up late, like,
yeah, that's not
talking stuff like that's just certain things. We just weren't compatible in a certain sense. And even when we left, I wasn't like, oh, we're going to be in a relationship. I'm like, I want to see what's good. So, you know, we only hung out one time, you know, that's really it.
That was it.
And that was it. Literally.
Did Alexis have hoe tendencies?
In terms of which ones? Which ones specifically? God.
Jesus Christ. Drawing attention to herself. You weren't around her that much outside of the island, so I guess you probably couldn't really know that.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's so different. Yeah, outside of the island, I didn't see that from her. Like, she's not a huge social media person. Okay. She's actually not a huge person that always wants to be in the spotlight. She actually moves away from it, you know, which was cool, which is what attracted me to her because she was from a small city. She was a little different. I didn't think she was like the rest. But there are other things where it's like you can have these areas that someone likes, but then with the motivation and ambitious side and the part that you could bounce things off of. It's like, to me, that's important. So, you know, some men, they want a woman that cooks and cleans. Sometimes that might be on a guy's scale. That might be at their top. To me, that's not on my top. Like, we can have a chef, you know what I'm saying? Or I can cook for you. Like, I like to cook too.
Exactly. Let me cook and let you take. The only reason why I've actually said this on my show, this was years ago, back when before my girl worked for me, what I used to do sometimes is when I really wanted to get it in, I would clean the entire house. I didn't clean the entire house because of gender roles. No, I didn't want there to be any impediment towards me and getting the ass. Hey, the kitchen's clean. The dishes are done. You make dinner. It's time to get it in. That's the way I saw it. So let me ask you this. Which guys because you saw the whole season, which guys on female island side did you feel like you wanted to punch in the face after watching the show? Which guys were like, oh, you motherfucker?
I mean, the obvious one, obviously, it would just be the Jesse thing with the way some of the comments he said about me. I feel like Lex was, everybody was respectful. I don't feel like there was a lot, all the guys over there were really even cool. Like, even after talking to Jesse, even after the thing, like, he was even cool too. Like, I feel like they had a good selection of men. Like, there were no weirdos. Like, at least I disrespected Eric in a sense where I feel like I need to go over there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it sounded to me like Jesse is the typical guy. Oh, you did this and she deserves better. Like, Jesse, you don't know anything about this woman, you know? Yeah. And I don't know what they have to say to get the ass, but, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it's playing a game. I mean, women fall for the game. It's easy. Okay. So sometimes, go ahead. That's one of my things too. I like to see how people respond to those type of situations. Like, are you actually going to be able to move differently? Because any typical woman would have done the exact same thing. I'm hurt, therefore I'm going to try to hurt him back or do the same thing. It's like, man, if she would have really done something different and not did that, like, it would have been a different situation, trust and believe.
I'll put it to you like this, and you said this a little bit earlier. You knew that Erica is very easily influenced. Actually, I would say this: when she was around you, she was influenced by you. But yeah. I think her downfall was that she lost your influence, and that's what made her susceptible to the influence of others. That yep. And fortunately for her, she made two very bad decisions. Number one, she slept with Jesse. Number two, she left the island by herself. And I remember thinking to myself, and there's a guy that
lied about it.
Yeah. Oh yes,
you don't want to forget.
And you were faithful, and she said, "Yep." I said, "See that? This is why we always say this."
Well, that's something that we dealt with too.
Say what now?
So we dealt with consistent lying in our relationship. I didn't trust her either. So that was a big thing. Yeah.
He's a dishonest person. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit, man. How's she doing now? I mean, I guess you guys still talk or?
Nah, no communication. I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I great person. She's going to be a great wife to somebody. Like, I hope she's doing well. Like, and I hope, you know, she's grown, and I'm sure she has.
I got news for you, man. Whoever she ends with, whoever she ends with, all the guys she has dated, she compares to you. That's just the way of it. Listen, I mean, trust me, at some point in the not too distant future, you mark my words, Kendall, Erica's going to reach out to you in some way, shape, or form. And she might go with a non-sequitur approach. Hey, did you hear about blah, 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 blah? Because I'm telling you, she's out here dating around. She's not going to meet anyone else like you. She's just not. You guys have both become celebrities after the show. That's a good thing for guys, not a good thing for girls. Erica's going to be in a situation where she's dating like these average guys. She's like, dude, like none of these guys are as motivated and as driven as Kendall. Hey, what do you want to do with your life? Nah, man, I'm telling you, in 6 months or less, she's going to be hitting you back up. Trust me.
See, the only thing is to her, I don't think she cares about all that. Like, she's actually very simple too. That's where we're kind of different. So we'll see, you know, we'll see.
Okay. Were there things that happened off camera that weren't shown to make the girls look a little more virtuous? Because it seemed like all the girls on your side of the island, they were all pretty sound. It looked like they were all pretty good people for the most part, but were there some things that they didn't show that would lead us to believe that the girls on your side were more virtuous than they are? Or was it pretty much just cut and dried?
They actually were all pretty respectful besides the fight with like Maya and some of the girls. It was the episode with the chicken and they're yelling back and forth. Yeah. That situation was like 2 hours. Like, it was late at night. Like, yeah. But besides that, the girls got along really good. They was actually really smooth. They surprised me. I was like, dang, y'all are dope. Like,
yeah, they just normally hate each other, right?
They do. I thought there was gonna be a lot more drama, but they were really cohesive. And a lot of them clicked up, so they have their inner cliques within the clique. So I think that's another thing that made it smooth too. They all had their little go-tos.
I'll tell you what, the person that pissed me off the most was Shaq. Shaq, he was blessed by the genetic gods. Could literally physically have any woman he wants. Yeah. He probably could have fucked Aaron. There's only one problem. He acts like a fucking female, even to the point where he ratted out Amanda for allegedly smashing Corey. I don't know if you're cool with Shaq, and I don't want you to disrespect him, but I don't really deal with guys like Shaq. Are you and Shaq cool? What are your thoughts on him?
I mean, what I've seen on the show was a little, that's just not how I would respond to a situation. Totally opposite. I'm not the Philly extra emotional guy, but when I met him in the flesh, he seemed like he was genuine and he was cool and he was genuinely hurt because I felt like he really had feelings for Aaron. And I feel like in certain senses, they were actually somewhat compatible because I feel like he's motivated, ambitious, and a lot of different things too. And he's a little on the somber, softer side too, but it's hard to make a judgment on it. When I met him, he was cool, you know?
Okay, all right. I'll put it to you like this. Shaq is not masculine. He has no masculinity. He's fucking chiseled out of granite, but it doesn't matter. It does matter to an extent, but Shaq is the – Shaq and actually – what's the guy's name? The guy that was going to mess with Chelsea. The dentist guy. Those two guys, physically, great genetics. Yeah. They have zero game. They don't know how to handle women. They do too much talking.
Yeah.
Shaq at one point was talking to Aaron. He's like, "Oh my God, you're like wife material." I'm like, fam, don't you know that she smashed Kamu Grugier-Hill right down the street for the Philadelphia Eagles? Don't you know she was fucking with Dee Gordon? Don't you know that she's been fucking with professional athletes? Have you not seen the... So, not to say that Aaron is a terrible person. Yes, Blake. Not to say that Aaron is a terrible person, but when guys make these grandiose declarations about a woman, that's a turnoff for them, and that's the reason why I think Aaron put Shaq in the friend zone.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually a great assessment of that. I think he came off really strong, and I think that scared her off too, for sure.
All right, good stuff. Last question, then, and we'll get you out of here.
Yeah, yeah, no worries.
Did Corey really smash Amanda, or is that a rumor?
To my knowledge, that's a rumor.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, to my knowledge, that's a rumor, and I've confirmed and asked. Yeah, that's a rumor for sure.
Okay, all right. See, the reason I thought that he had is because when Shaq ratted her out, like during the timeout, she looks at Shaq. She's like, "You're a piece of shit." I'm like, "Oh, she's mad because he fucking went and told Aaron." See, yeah. I think Shaq, I don't know. He probably maybe started the rumor because he figured, "I'm gonna tell on Corey's girlfriend. I'm gonna tell her that you know, he had sex with Amanda, and then Aaron would get with me." I thought it made him look really bad, but
see, I think Amanda told him that, but I don't know what to believe, who's lying and what. So he could have been filtering a lie that was already a lie. You know what I'm saying? And not created it. So it depends on who had what type of intention. So I don't know where it came from.
Wow. Okay. All right. Wow. Well, I guess that's neither here nor there. Yeah, exactly. That's for Kendall Kirkland, man. What's next for you?
I've definitely been doing a lot more acting and modeling. So I'm SAG now. So I've been doing a few commercials, growing a few businesses. I have an e-commerce business. I have a credit repair business. I'm doing something in the health space too.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have an application coming out in 2022.
Should be really good. Good. So,
Definitely making different moves, planning things out for this last fourth quarter here. I'm also going to do a podcast. I love what you're doing too. Some of the listeners talking to people. I love, like, I enjoyed this today. It was fun.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to talk and give people value because I think people do not look at things and analyze their own decisions, their own actions, and they can be better people by making better decisions. I feel like the quality of your life is based off of the quality of your decisions. And I feel like a lot of things in my life have went well due to me being pragmatic, assessing certain things, not acting emotionally, and being able to move and execute and putting in the work. So I want to help people. My goal is to help as many people ending out this year and going into 2022 and grow different businesses and have fun. And hopefully I'll pop out, you know, with a girlfriend in 2022 and grow something.
Well, listen, man, if there is, reach out to me. Listen, reach out to me at any time if there's anything I can do for you. Podcast. I know exactly how to move and the algorithms, and I have fought wars. Like, I'm very adept at surviving scandal and rumors and all that. So I would love to have you on again at some point. And listen, if you would like for me to come on your podcast, I have no problem. I'll go ahead and clear the schedule out for you.
Come on, man. Absolutely, man. Whenever you need anything as well, let me know. I got you. We'll be a resource. I'm gonna shoot you my number too. So we'll be good.
Very good, very good. Kendall Kirkland, the winner of Temptation Island, the unofficial winner of Temptation Island season 3. Guys, be sure to follow him on Instagram at Ken Kirk. Kendall, again, man, thank you very, very much for making time for us today. And we'll definitely talk soon, man.
For sure, man. Have a good one.
You too, bud. Kendall Kirkland in the house, man. Wow. Fantastic, fantastic interview. Dude, that guy is wise beyond his years, and it's no surprise that he was raised by both of his parents, and both of his parents are still together. Kendall is the quintessential example of the strongest men being created in nuclear families. Like, this is exactly why he's miles ahead of even me at 28 years old. I was an idiot. And this kid has it all together, man. So, yeah, listen, definitely. I'll help him any way I can get his podcast off the ground. That is going to do it for this edition of One-on-One with Donovan Sharp. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see.